Oh, actually, all three of those events. So coming into the day, they were all on 3 points. So they'd all won one game and lost one game. Goal differential was basically even. Romania and Belgium had better goal differential. Slovakia was even. Ukraine had a negative one, but it was all even. So basically, if you get a draw, you're likely in. If you get a win, you're for sure in this group.
Right.
And then everybody drew.
Yeah.
So it was the first time in Euros history that all four teams had the same amount of points heading into the last group game. And then it was the first time that they'd all finished the same amount of points, naturally. Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake, joined by Matt, as always. Today is Wednesday, June 26th. In 24 hours, we'll be in Florida, where it's probably not going to be as hot because our air conditioning is broken, so we are sweating through it the last couple days. But we're surviving. We're ready to go. A lot to talk about today. Euros on to the knockout rounds. Copa America is underway. The NBA draft is happening as we speak. We don't know too many of the players, but we are going to talk about that. And the Olympic trials have started. They're actually pretty close to the Olympics, if you think about it.
Yes, they are very close to the Olympics. For mostly, yeah, because gymnastics already happened. Swimming is just wrapping up. Track's kind of in the middle. But, like, basketball picked a long time ago.
Yeah, you know? I guess it's just track and swimming.
Yeah.
You'd think they'd want to give them a little bit more time in between.
Well, it's hard because if you give them too much time, then they fall out of their peak, you know?
Yeah.
But then you don't want them trying too hard. So they're hoping, because it's like 5 weeks. So 5 weeks kind of, you know, should hopefully be enough time to recover.
You would think and hope so.
Yeah.
Now, before we get into let's start with the NBA draft just because that's probably going to be a quicker one. Again, it's ongoing as we speak right now. Before we get into that, though, Matt, as always, we start with the ick of the week.
Yes, of course.
Now, this one is tough for me because I am guilty of it every time I take a nap. It's waking up confused.
Waking up confused.
Yeah. Even sometimes not taking a nap, just waking up from my regular sleep, I'm kind of like, you know, what day is it? What time is it?
Well, it's hard after a nap, you know.
You got to orient yourself somehow.
You do. So, yeah, you know, I don't know if I wake up confused. I wake up very, very slowly. It takes me a while to just kind of get myself up out of the bed.
Waking up fast is tough.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, so fellas, stay sharp when you're waking up if you want to keep your girl.
I guess so.
Okay, we'll do NBA draft, then we'll do soccer, then Olympic trials, then a soccer top five. Is that good?
That's good. Really quickly, is there some sort of a special game going on?
With the Giants and Cubs?
Well, because the pitcher's name is Birdsong, and they just showed a Cubs player named Crow Arms. Like, I can maybe believe there's someone named Birdsong.
Think it's like a fantasy night? Like,
well, I don't know. It just seems like, are you aware of a pitcher for the Giants named Birdsong?
Yeah, this is actually his first start. He was in Double A like a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, crazy. Good for him.
We literally don't have any pitchers. Yeah. Like, Robbie Ray, Kyle Harrison, Blake Snell's been garbage. Like, we've been doing bullpen games 3 out of the 5, like, rotation nights.
It's not ideal.
And then when Logan Webb and Jordan Hicks start, they have to go super deep, so they're exhausted. It's right. Not a great situation.
Yeah.
So but that's where he comes in.
Hey, you got 3 runs today. That's not bad.
That's 3 more than we... we usually don't get shut out, but it's usually not great. So I'll take 3. And the Cubs only have 2 so far.
Yeah.
And the Cubs are really bad like us, so we do need to win these games, especially because they got 2 out of 3 in Wrigley.
Yeah, so that's we'll have to do an MLB check-in when we get back from Florida, potentially.
Yeah, because I actually don't know when All-Star Weekend, but it might be, like, right when we're getting back or sometime in July, so we'll have to do that.
That'll be good.
Yeah. No, we'll have to do that. NBA draft wise, three of the first six guys are from France. So that's fun.
That's odd. Yeah, I would expect there to be a couple of guys, but three out of six is very unusual.
Reed Shepard went to Houston. The one I was interested in, I thought Don Connect, so he went 17 to the Lakers. He's from Tennessee. I thought he was going to go a little bit higher. He is older. He's a senior, but he was the SEC Player of the Year. Very good player. He's got size, got shooting.
Yeah.
I think with Jalen Brunson's the best example, but really a lot of these players, we see like, you know, seniors come in, and yeah, maybe they don't have the upside of these freshmen, but like, you're also getting a good player right away.
Yeah, so, which is, you know, in, you know, for the Lakers, that's what they need. Yeah. So
I really like that pick. I just assumed he was gone when the Jazz drafted, who we got someone named Cody Williams. I didn't watch one Colorado game, so I'm not going to comment on him.
But I mean, Colorado, they were doing pretty good. Actually, that might have been Colorado State.
And I think the women were all right, Colorado women. I don't know about the men.
Interesting. But I did read Tony Jones. He tweeted out that if the Jazz had the number one pick, they would have thought about Cody Williams. So apparently they really, really like him, which, you know, maybe that's good because we really, really like Donovan Mitchell. But Danny Ainge also really, really liked Justice Winslow, who hasn't worked out.
Yeah. But Danny Ainge was the GM for the Celtics when they got Jason Tatum instead of Markelle Fultz and Lonzo Ball, and then Jaylen Brown instead of Ben Simmons and I don't remember the Lakers player.
Yes. I do remember him trying to trade back out of that pick because he didn't love Jaylen Brown. But he was smart enough to not try to trade up for Ben Simmons.
Yes.
So.
Yes. He traded out of the Sixers pick to get Jason Tatum. Out of the number one pick, so
yes, yeah, that was genius. Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, Jared McCain from Duke went 16 to the Sixers. I watched Duke the second most out of any team just because of the Carolina thing. So Jared McCain, I saw quite a bit. I thought he was a good player. They're still in the first round. I would have thought they'd be way done by then.
Right, yeah, it takes a sec. So, yeah, now we are recording this in the middle of the first round, so if Bronny does get drafted, probably not going to talk about it on this podcast.
He has not been drafted
yet. At least, you know, not for a couple weeks. Do you think he ends up with the Lakers? I kind of hope he doesn't.
I don't think he would want that.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I would just want to, you know, go do my own thing. It sounds like Rich Paul's trying to keep him out of the G League, which is like... I don't know. I get where you're coming from, and I get that he's going to make a bigger deal on his rookie contract. But I don't know, man. Like, if he's not – and maybe he is ready for the NBA, and that'd be great. But if he's not ready for the NBA and they don't let him go to the G League, like, that could
– You'd rather play than not play.
Yeah, for sure. Like, yeah. And it seems like, you know – and he had an off year because he had the cardiac arrest and missed a lot of practices and things. And so it just – seems like, especially for him, getting into the games and stuff is going to be important.
Yeah. Zach Edey went to Memphis.
That's fun.
Interesting spot for him.
I wonder what him and Ja Morant are going to talk about.
That's what I was going to say. Personality-wise, probably the worst fit. But basketball-wise, I think it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Him next to Jaren Jackson, I can see that.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the Memphis fit. Yeah, personality-wise, though, he doesn't really fit into the locker room from what we know about Edey and those guys.
Yeah.
So it should be fun. The Bucks got someone named AJ Johnson from USA.
USA.
Other teams, it'll say, like, G League Ignite or whatever. He just says USA.
The University State of Arizona.
Well, there's not a school that exists like that I know of.
Yeah. Arizona. So, yeah, that's interesting.
There's so many France guys. Jeez, it's crazy.
Yeah.
So, is France ahead of Spain now in world basketball?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Certainly talent-wise, as far as, like, producing players, I don't... Well, I'm trying to think because I know that in the last World Cup, France got bounced pretty early with the U.S. or maybe they beat the U.S. and then got bounced the next round. I don't really hear about Spain in the World Cup stuff, you know. Yeah. But like, who's the best Spanish player right now?
I guess they're all gone, huh? Because it was like Rubio and Gasol, and what was the name of the winger for Portland?
Oh, I don't remember.
He was good though. He was fun.
Yeah. But yeah, it just seems like for whatever reason they just haven't produced the basketball talent.
That 28 Spanish team though was like way fun.
That was a lot.
Way
of fun.
Good. Like yeah. That was my favorite gold medal match in basketball because there was like. It wasn't like 100%. It was probably like 95%, but it wasn't 100% we're going to win.
Yeah, for sure.
It was fun.
Right. Well, yeah, because we had lost the Olympics before.
Yeah, that was the redeem team.
Yeah.
And that was where Kobe ran through Gasol's chest. Have you seen that highlight?
Oh, yeah. That's great.
Kobe's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, let's talk about basketball again because I want to look at this roster. Like, it's definitely a good roster and a better roster than we sent to the World Cup. But, like, again, I don't know. We haven't been very good in the World Cups recently.
Do you think that's because we don't care, though, about basketball World Cups?
Maybe, but, like, I don't know. Like, Jaylen Brown and Jalen Brunson and Donovan Mitchell, like, I know those guys care while they're there, and they should be good enough to win.
Do they care while they're there?
I think so.
You'd like to think so. Yeah. I question that, not because of anything on them, but I just think if they cared, we would be winning like 100%. That's why I'm not sure they do care.
Right. Yeah.
Because if they do care, no matter what team we send, it should be winning.
It should. Yeah. No. Because I understand that it's not going to be like the 80s and the 90s and things, but like we're still by far the most talented team. And so like this year, I'm just interested because like it's definitely the most talent, but it's also a lot older than some of the teams we've sent in the past.
Yeah. No, I'm interested to watch for sure. Yeah, we could have like an Olympic episode where we do all the sports, including basketball.
Yeah, we'll
have to. Do you think that would take too long? Sure. Do we need to break it up?
Well, it depends what you mean by all the sports. Like, are we going to talk about equestrian?
Well, no, but we would do track and swimming and basketball in that episode. Golf is technically an Olympic sport, so hit on that.
Yeah, we could talk about the golf. You know, I'm sure there's going to be a swimming story that comes up, you know. Yeah. So yeah, we'll get into that for sure.
So we'll have an Olympic. When is the opening ceremony?
Last week or second to last week of July.
Okay, yeah, we're fine. We got time. Do you want to talk about the Euros or the Copa America first?
Let's talk about the Euros, because in my day, it's start with the Euros and then end with Copa America.
I know, and today was kind of the last day there were like a lot of games like that.
Right.
Kind of a bummer, so yeah. That was a fun, like, couple weeks.
Yeah, shout out to Romania.
They played just delightful. That first game, they were just shooting bangers from all over the field.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, no, so Romania won their group. That was the craziest group. So France, Belgium, Romania. Who else was in that group? Ukraine. Was that Slovakia or Czech Republic?
You know,
I don't even remember.
I feel bad. I know it was one of those SL Eastern European countries, but you've got Slovakia, Slovenia. I think it was Slovenia.
Slovenia sounds right. Let me just pull up the table real quick for that fourth team.
Yeah.
So it was Slovakia. Oh, actually, all three of those events. So coming into the day, they were all on 3 points. So they all won one game and lost one game. Goal differential was basically even. Romania and Belgium had better goal differential. Slovakia was even. Ukraine had a negative one. But it was all even. So basically, if you get a draw, you're likely in. If you get a win, you're for sure in this group.
Right.
And then everybody drew.
Yeah.
So it was the first time in Euros history that all four teams had the same amount of points heading into the last group game. Mm-hmm. And then it was the first time that they'd all finished with the same amount of points.
Yeah.
Naturally.
That's crazy. Like, that really stinks for Ukraine to get 4 points and not get out of your group.
Yeah, especially when the other teams had 4 points.
Yeah, and you had, like, third-place teams getting, like, 2 points that got through.
And Slovakia got through at 4 with third place. So all the other three teams went through in their group, but Ukraine.
Did you see that if Serbia could have scored one goal against England, then the whole group would have had the same number of points? Definitely the same goal differential. They might have had the same goals for and against.
That's funny. Oh, yeah. Yeah, if Serbia gets one more, it would have been, yeah.
So, like, yeah, I don't even know what they do. There was one Who's in Denmark's group that got eliminated?
Well, so this is the same group, actually. So Serbia and Slovenia is the other team.
Oh, yeah. So I think Slovenia, the reason Denmark was ahead of Slovenia is because they did have all that stuff the same. And so then they go to yellow cards. And Slovenia's assistant coach got a yellow card.
Yeah, you got to fire him, right?
Like, that just seems like, yeah, if you don't advance, because also he's got to be feeling so annoyed that it ended up coming down to that tiebreaker.
Why? Yeah, why are you, as an assistant, getting a yellow card? Like, what are you doing to merit one in the first place?
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Especially in a tournament like this. If it's like a club, like regular games, like whatever.
Right. But there should be absolutely no reason for, unless like for some, but yeah, it should be the head coach talking to the ref. Like, the only thing I can think of is the coach is like, hey, I don't want to get thrown out. Go yell at the referee or something. But like, if I was a ref, I would be more inclined to give a card to an assistant than to a head coach.
Yeah. Especially because in like tournaments like this, yellow cards clearly matter quite a bit.
For sure.
So yeah. You got to know. Yeah. So Serbia would have just scored one time. Everybody would have had two goals for, two goals against, 3 points, 4 points. Everything would have been the same. It would have been great.
Yeah.
But they robbed us of that. Even more chaotic.
Yeah. So that would have been fun. But yeah, do we have teams that we like, based on what we've seen so far?
Well, you know, what's a bummer is I was going to say Austria and Romania as far as what we've seen so far.
Uh-huh.
But you can't really pick them to go. It's tough. So Romania plays Netherlands, who didn't look that good. They got third in their group.
Yeah.
Austria plays Turkey. Austria played great in all three of their games. I don't want to say great in all three, but they played. Yeah. I was pleasantly surprised with Austria's play.
Yeah, I would love to know how they do the seeding, because, like, Romania, like, they did only have 4 points. Like, it's enough to go through, but it's not a ton of points.
Yeah.
I feel like they should end up with a second place team, not a third place team. And it's a bummer that their third place team ended up being the Netherlands. Yeah.
Well, they did it where, like, and I don't know this exactly, but, like, generally how they did it, like, one, it'd be, like, A1 versus B3. And then, like, B1 versus A2, or, like, A1 versus A, like, B3 or D3 or whatever. So it was, like, set, like, the third place team is going to be in this game, and the second place team is going to be in this game.
Interesting, yeah. So that seems unfair. Like, you could have, like, so 9 points in your group and then end up playing a second place team instead of a third place team.
Yeah, it shouldn't be like that, but that's how it is.
Yeah.
Which is dumb. So, and on the other one, it made one side way tougher. So Spain, Germany, Portugal, and France are all on the same side. Mm-hmm. And then the other side, so Italy defending champs, Switzerland, England, Austria, Turkey, Netherlands. Name recognition not as good as the top side or the left side.
No, yeah, definitely not. And I don't really think, like, you know, because as far as, like, playing well, like, Austria, you mentioned, but, like, they're not as talent-wise. Like, the teams that really play well, you know, Germany, Spain, I think. Like, Italy hasn't looked that great. England has not looked that great.
No. Every podcast I've listened to this week basically has cycled back. Like, England podcasts are now talking about why, like, David Beckham and Steven Gerrard and Michael Owen, why they didn't win more games. Like, they're sick of complaining about this team, so they're going back to, like, the mid-2000s.
To the other teams they complaining played.
About that.
Yeah.
You know who was sick? I was actually watching Ashley Cole.
Oh, yeah.
He made some great tackles. He was crazy.
Yeah, I loved Ashley Cole.
He was good. So, I like, they actually would play each other in the second round of this knockout round, but I think the two most impressive teams, in my opinion, have been Spain and Germany.
Yeah, I think so too.
And they're set to play each other. Germany plays Denmark and Spain plays Georgia, who beat Portugal 2-0.
Yeah, Germany-Denmark, that's just a killer first-round matchup.
Yeah. I like Denmark. If they weren't playing Germany, I would say, hey, maybe Denmark can do something, you know?
Right,
Scotland was maybe my worst opinion ever of going through, so
yeah. That, well, it's like soccer, and we're going to talk about this with the Copa America in a minute, but soccer is just a cruel thing, you know? Like, you can look really good. You can have good chances and then, you know, just not get any of them. Yeah. And then the other team only needs one.
I think because the second round, that's where I think it really gets. Let's say the favorites go through. So we get a rematch of last final, England-Italy. Netherlands-Austria, maybe. Turkey-Romania. We'll call that. I'm going to say Austria-Netherlands, but Romania, you never know. And then I'm assuming France beats Belgium because they just look disheveled.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin De Bruyne didn't even let the other, his teammates like applaud the fans because they booed him so much after.
It just seems
like no one, the players, like the coach, the fan, like no one's enjoying themselves. And it's been that way for years.
Yeah, it's just crazy. It's like, and for the fans, it just must be horrible knowing like, you might never get this much talent on the same team again. You might have a better team soon, but you're not going to have this much talent again, you know?
No.
So.
You're not. Well, at one point, for like a year and a half, they had arguably the best player in the world. Hazard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. Hazard's great.
Him at Chelsea was something just unfathomable, honestly, like was what was happening.
Yeah. No, yeah, I would have loved to see him do well, like him and Ronaldo playing together. Or did he go when Ronaldo had gone to Juventus? I can't remember.
Well, Ronaldo, I feel like they were there at the same time.
Yeah, because them, like, at the top of their game together on the same field would have been so much fun to watch.
That would have been lethal, yeah. So, but assuming France beats Belgium, because they're not very good, Portugal-France, Portugal is who I picked to win, and then Germany-Spain. All great second round matchups, quarterfinal matchups.
Yeah. Well, France is another one I wanted to talk about because I believe the only goal they've scored has been a penalty, right? Am I making that up?
Well, I think Mbappe had one on because they won the first game.
Oh, then that's right. They did have one and then didn't have one the second game.
No, they didn't. They drew their first game.
Yeah.
So, France, they beat Austria 1-0, but then drew Poland 1-1. So, Austria had the own goal, though. Oh, yeah. That's right. What happened.
Yeah.
And it was a penalty, Mbappe, yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't even look that good against the Netherlands in their game, that 0-0 draw.
Right. So that's what I mean. Like France hasn't looked good. There's a lot of just, like, there's not a lot of teams jumping out saying that we're ready to win this. For me, it's really, you know, Germany for sure. Kind of Spain. I think Spain could look better.
Spain's a little young, too.
Right.
Which worries me.
Yeah, so I think, yeah, for Germany, they've got to be looking around, and they've got to really like their chances.
It's obviously in Germany, which doesn't hurt.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure they would love to win. I don't know if a host country's ever won the Euros. But I know Germany certainly, you know, they got third in their World Cup in 2006, which I'm sure was a huge letdown.
Yeah. I think if we're comparing great teams that aren't performing well, I trust France 10 out of 10 times over England to click it on, like get it together.
Yeah. Makes sense. Yeah, well, yeah, because, you know, same coach, same players. England, same coach, but he doesn't – the England fans don't really seem to be happy with him. It also is like a bunch of new players for England.
Yeah, not a lot of returning guys from the guys that got him to the final last time.
Yeah.
Now, Portugal, I know they didn't look great today, but they've already, you know, automatically qualified. They are, at least they have some older guys, Ronaldo being the main one, who wasn't happy when he got subbed off. I think that Portugal-France could be a great game. I'm going to assume Portugal, and then we could get a Portugal-Spain semifinal. Germany would probably be the favorite there. Spain-Germany might be the game of the tournament if they both go through.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. Yeah, Germany does, you know, they're playing the best. They might have the hardest road to get there.
Do you think Italy or anyone else has a chance to beat England and get to the final on that bottom side? So it'd be maybe Italy or Switzerland. I think those would probably be the more likely teams. Netherlands just have not looked good, in my opinion.
Right. Yeah, I don't think they've looked great. So, I don't know. Like, I mean, it'd be interesting to see Austria. You know, Italy, I think they're good defensively. I think they could win a penalty shootout.
That's the thing. I think they're really good defensively, so they can lock it down if they need to and yeah. try to get to a shootout.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, I don't know. I'm not sure they're going to score against England, but I don't feel like England's going to score against them.
They haven't really been lethal. Now, they did look better with Kobe Mainoo and Anthony Gordon on the pitch.
Right.
They had a chance where, so Gordon passed it up to Mainoo. Mainoo flicked it one touch to Harry Kane. I think if Kane hits it back to Mainoo, they get a better opportunity than Kane just kind of losing the ball.
Yeah.
But my thoughts on Harry Kane have been well public. I agree. I think tough pick Italy. I kind of want to pick Portugal, but Spain's looked really good. I don't know. It's going to be exciting, though. I think it's a great bracket.
Yeah.
Now, if we go to the Copa America, so we're in the middle of that right now.
Yeah, still in group stages with Copa America.
Can I just say, so last night, let's start with Group A, because that's Group A, defending World Cup champions, our favorite team, the game we're going to see. So I think that's a good place to start.
Yeah.
Chile-Argentina last night. I saw some Argentina fans having the audacity to complain about not getting a penalty. Chilean player was elbowed in the head in the box. Mauricio Isla was tackled, like football tackle, not soccer tackled.
Yeah.
Like just straight up tackled. The one they're complaining about was Di Maria. He got, what's the name? Is it Neio or something?
I don't remember.
The Chilean defender got the ball first, and it was outside the box. It's like zero possible justification for a penalty.
Yeah, definitely can't be a penalty.
It's like, it was such a dumb... Now, Argentina did play better, obviously dominated the stat line. Chile had a few good chances. I'm not saying like Chile should have won, but just to say the refs were on your side or Argentina should have had a penalty in there is just baloney.
Yeah, well, I mean, if the refs are going to be on somebody's side, they're definitely going to be on Messi's side.
Yeah, right? I know. That's what they're saying. Like, I saw someone was like, oh, well... Like, if this was Brazil, Vinny would have gotten these calls. It's like, Messi gets more than anyone in the world.
Yeah.
Like,
what are we talking about?
Relax. So, yeah. You were talking during the game, one time a Chilean got a red card because he was standing where Messi wanted to stand.
Well, yeah, no, that was the 2016 final. Marcelo Diaz, it was a second yellow. It wasn't a straight red. But, yeah, no, Messi had the ball and truly ran into him, and he kind of, you know, put his arms up and didn't know what to do and got a red. And actually, I think the ref realized that he made a bad call and then gave Argentina player Rojo what I think was a straight red that kind of didn't deserve to be. So yeah, that was a fun game because it was 10 men against 10 men.
That game was wild.
But yeah, no, I actually thought Chile played pretty well. I know that there were long periods of the game where Argentina dominated possession, but I felt like Chile held their shape really well. I felt like for the most part they were keyed in on Messi. They didn't give him a lot of space, although there was obviously his shot in the first half where he had too much space. There were a few moments, but that's Messi. You know, that's just going to happen. And I thought that they very easily could have won that game. You know, I think Argentina's goal was not lucky, but it's a corner where it's just kind of bouncing around, and that happens in soccer. And I felt like Chile's had a couple of chances that could have gone in. So, you know, I think those same shots happen again. I think Chile either draws or potentially wins the game.
Yeah, Argentina got the bounce. Chile didn't get the bounce, but that happens.
Yeah. So I felt actually more optimistic watching Chile than I did after watching them draw Peru.
They are going to – yeah, the Peru game is the killer, not losing to Argentina. Because we were talking – on it's we were going to have to beat Canada, lose or draw against Argentina.
Right.
So it honestly, it was deflating, but not that big of a deal.
Kind of didn't matter, yeah.
Canada, I thought, looked good against Argentina. I thought looked good against Peru. So they go through with a draw against Chile, or a win, obviously, of course.
Yeah. Assuming, yeah, I don't know what that does with Peru, like if Peru won.
Well, if Peru beats Argentina and Chile beats Canada, then it'd come down to goal differential. I'm just assuming Peru's not going to straight up beat Argentina.
Right, yeah, I think that's what I think. And I meant that kind of more for Canada, honestly, but again, I kind of don't think that seems unlikely to me.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Canada and Chile could draw, and Peru could beat Argentina. and have a better goal differential
than Canada. Yeah. But.
So we're just assuming Peru's not going to beat Argentina, but they might be resting some guys. You never know.
Anything can happen, yeah.
Now, in Group B, this is interesting. So Venezuela won their first two games, so they're, you know, qualified already. Ecuador and Mexico playing each other, I think, Sunday. They're both on 3 points. Ecuador is a better goal differential, so Ecuador is going to go through with a draw. Mexico is going to go through with a win. Now, the nice thing for Mexico is that game is somewhere where they're going to have a lot of fans. Glendale, Arizona, Phoenix. So,
yes, and kind of works out for them because if they get second in their group, they get to play in Mexico, and if they won their group, they wouldn't get to play in Mexico.
I don't know how that works, but
yeah. Now, that being said, I still think I'm picking Ecuador.
Yeah, do you just to get the draw or like go through? Or doesn't like anything?
I guess. Yeah, I mean. Like
Mexico's
I guess
not very good.
Like I guess a draw might be what I would pick, but if I was going to pick one to win, I still think I would pick Ecuador. Like Mexico has just had so many problems recently and they just haven't looked good. So.
Mexico has slightly better odds over Ecuador. I think that's more to do with the fan base than the actual play.
Yeah.
Of
yeah.
both teams.
Yeah, I just think Ecuador is really good. I think they're really fast. So yeah, I just like Ecuador.
Yeah. Group C, Uruguay and USA. Pulisic had a banger of a goal in their game against Bolivia. Panama's going to be tricky. If we can get a result against Panama, I feel 90%+ sure we're going to go through.
Yeah. We play Panama tomorrow, not Uruguay, right?
Yeah, we play Panama tomorrow.
It would definitely be nice to beat Panama and then not have to worry about the Uruguay game.
Panama's always tough, though. It's not in Panama, but I think it's still going to be tough.
Oh, yeah. I think it's tough, too. I just think, you know, not as tough as Uruguay is going
to
be.
I'm trying to think. I think if we draw, then, yeah, it's not automatic, but we're basically through if we can just draw against Panama. We got to go. We could have beat Bolivia by 3 or 4. I would like to see us go for the jugular a little bit more, but I'm happy with what we got.
Yeah, I agree.
Uruguay and America, that's going to be the last game. Like you said, if we can just beat Panama, we're not going to have to worry about that. But it would be nice to not worry about that. Group D, Brazil, welcome to CONCACAF. A 0-0 draw against Costa Rica. Colombia beat Paraguay 2-1, I believe. So they're top of that group. Costa Rica, like Panama, no one ever wants to play them.
Yeah, they're good.
They wreck the team, yeah.
They've still got Keylor Navas in goal, so it's going to be really hard to score against him. You know, I think the most underrated player in the world for the last 10 years, easily.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, because he's always, you know, he was at Real Madrid, he kept winning the job, but they kept bringing in keepers to replace him. Then same thing, he goes to PSG, they keep bringing in keepers to replace him, but anytime he plays, he's rock solid. He got them to the quarterfinals in the World Cup just because of how good a keeper he is, not just in the penalty shootouts, but in the game, just these huge heroic efforts. He's obviously a little bit older now. But also, it's not 100% him. Like, even, you know, there's no goalie that can win just by themselves. So Costa Rica, you know, is at least competent, you know.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, Brazil, I think definitely there's cause for concern. They need to look better. But also, Costa Rica is not the worst team to lose to.
I think most people are like, what's the most important position? I think most people say striker because you have to score and be able to score. But I think a goalie, because obviously saving a goal counts just as much as getting a goal.
Uh-huh.
And someone like Navas or Tim Howard in that 2014 World Cup game, or you would say Peter Cech for Chelsea, Nick Romano for Real Salt Lake, I would say Edwin Van der Sar at Manchester United. It just helps so much. It makes everything so much easier. If you're like, we're not giving up a goal today.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it just so much. Well, especially like in the middle of a season for Raimondo, he was going to make, you know, two or three saves a game that a lot of keepers would have let through. And so that earns you a lot of shutouts. That gets you at least a point. But yeah. Yeah, goalies are huge. And yet, goalies, you know, definitely can lose you the game. They might not win you the game, but they can lose you the game for sure.
They can lose you the game because striker can't lose you the game. I guess Wondolowski lost to U.S. that game.
Yeah, it depends how you look at it. So they can,
but yeah, giving up a goal counts just as much as getting a goal. So it's different, obviously, but goalies are critical. So I still think Colombia and Brazil go through, but Costa Rica and Panama, I think, are the example of CONCACAF and like how tough it is.
Yeah,
and like games you should win, they just make it tough to win. Before we go to top five, which is back to Euro related, I'll give you the Olympic trials floor, unless there's anything else in the Copa America.
No, I don't think so. Olympic trials, and they're not over yet. So we're just gonna. I think for me, the story has been more about the people that have not gone through. The big ones, you know, in the women's 10,000, Parker Valby finishing fourth, really great collegian. Christian Coleman, world champion in the 100 meters from a couple of years ago, did not qualify. The really, really big one, who I think was the favorite to win gold, was a thing Mo in the 800, who got tripped and fell down. A lot of people have been upset, especially about a thing Mo, and they think either they should rerun it so that she has a better chance, which is, of course, devastating for the three women that already qualified. They think that, you know, if the U.S. had a system where we just picked the three best athletes, certainly we'd have a thing Mo going. We'd probably have Christian Coleman going too. But I don't know. That's just kind of... I think it's kind of a beautiful thing about track and field is just like I showed up on the day and I ran faster than you, you know? And so that's what I think is what's so great about it and makes it a pure sport. The 800 is just hard because the 800, it's so easy to fall. It gets so crowded. So it's definitely the most unfair in the 800.
Yeah.
But I just like that so much better than what a lot of, you know, Kenya and Ethiopia, where they will just pick their athletes, or they at least have the discretion to pick at least that third athlete. This just seems the most fair to me. And so, you know, certainly from our conversations, you guys will know, I think, Jake, a lot of the time you favor finding out who's best, and I'm concerned with what's more fair and who wins on the day. And so I love our Olympic trials for that reason.
Yeah. As someone who wants America to win the most medal, I do think this is a little bit different, where I do like the idea of earning it. Maybe something like three or five races and kind of a more of a mini season type thing would give Mo a better chance than like tripping in one race.
Sure.
It takes a lot of the drama out of it, for sure.
Yes. Yeah. No, this is, the Olympic trials, I think, is a lot more intense than the actual Olympics are in a lot of ways.
So it's not a perfect system. It's impossible to get a perfect system for Olympic rosters. For example, Alex Morgan got left off the soccer, and I'm blanking on her name. Someone who's a very good midfielder, but is kind of, say, more conservative than the average women's national team fan would appreciate, got put on, and everyone's upset.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's not the same situation, but just saying, yes. Like, it's not. There's no perfect way to do it.
Definitely.
So, or even the Caitlin Clark thing, we talked about that an episode or two ago.
Yeah, it's just hard. Well, the U.S. just has so many good athletes. Yeah, it's really tricky.
It does suck though for Mo, who spent, 4 years, but really her whole life,
right?
And then just a freak slip, and it just does nothing matters.
Yeah, defending champion.
She's probably. I would be in a spiral. I don't want to put that on her, but I would just be a mess.
Also, and like this is just kind of in general for media. Like we. Don't have to put the camera right on a sobbing athlete in the worst moment of their lives, right? No. Like, we could give them a little bit of privacy.
The best example is the Bodie Miller interview.
Oh, my gosh. That was so horrible.
The reporter just kept being like, so how do you feel that your dead brother wasn't here to watch you win because he died?
Yeah.
Like, it was like a minute of that, and then finally he just started sobbing.
Truly, like, six questions. Like, so your brother, who is dead in the ground.
The most, in us being in, like, junior high, we're like, what are you doing? And then he, like, gets on his knees, and then she, like, lowers the microphone down to him. It's just terrible. Oh, terrible.
Yeah. That's crazy. And this will be our last thing, but fun fact about Olympic trials. Do you know why track, we send three athletes. Skiing, snowboarding,
speed skating, it's always three athletes in all these sorts of individual sports. Do you know in swimming, it is only two?
I do, but I'll let you tell it.
It's because all the other countries got tired of the U.S. sweeping all the swimming medals. I just think that's a fun fact.
That is fun. Sucks for swimmers.
Yeah, does suck for swimmers.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Okay.
Top five?
Top five. Now, this is the top five golden boot leaders in the World Cup, in the Euros, excuse me, where everyone's played the same amount of games onto the knockout rounds. You're not going to guess it. We're not going to know the name. So we're just going to do countries, and own goal is not on the list.
Okay.
So you technically have like a 5 out of 24 chance. I'd have to double check the bracket. It's probably 5 out of 16.
So top 5 goal scorers.
Yeah, but again, I'm not going to make you guess the person. You just do the country.
Yeah, because like I don't know whoever the Romanian.
And there's two from the same country.
Okay.
So you really only have to get 4.
Well, at least one of them, I believe, is Musiala, who, Germany.
Yeah, so Germany is the one with 2, Musiala and Füllkrug.
Okay, good. So them, I mean, yeah. Because I do think, can you tell me that those guys have 2 goals, or would that be cheating?
They have 2 goals. Yep. One of them has 3, not one of those two. Like, the top guy has 3, and then 4 people have 2, including those 2.
So who would have 3?
I'll also give you a hint. One person, you know who he is, but is not like a star. The other two, I know you don't know.
Okay, cool. Well, let's say, I'm pretty sure Modric only had 1. So let's, you know, Romania did have at least 3 goals, maybe 4. So is Romania one of them?
Romania is not. They spread it out, their goal scores.
Good for them. Let's say Spain.
Nope.
No Spain.
2 quick strikes.
Mbappe, we talked about, only has 1.
I'll give you a hint. One of them scored against the United States in the World Cup. That's too easy of a hint.
But. Okay. I just had someone that I wanted to guess, and then Austria. I wanted to guess.
It's not Austria.
No Austria. They're no spreading Austria. It out too. Okay.
Yeah.
When did we play? I can't remember who's in our group in the World Cup, so I'll just say Netherlands.
Yeah, Cody Gakpo has 2 for the Netherlands.
Okay. I think I might be at 3 strikes. I'll just go until I get 1 more.
Yeah.
Did I say Spain?
You did say Spain.
Okay. We'll, you know, just for fun, let's say Italy.
It's not Italy.
Not Italy. Okay. Who are our other ones?
So Ivan Trons from Slovakia also has 2.
Okay.
So, and then number 1, Georgios Mikadadze from Georgia has 3.
Yeah.
You know, the SEC always performs well, so you should have.
Yes, I do.
You should have gotten that one.
Should have.
Yeah. So Georgia with 1, then Füllkrug, Musiala, Germany with 2, Gapko with 2 for the Netherlands, and Slovakia, Ivan Trons for Slovakia has 2. A lot of ones. A crazy amount of ones.
Yes, a lot of
ones.
A
weird amount of ones. There should be more 2s and 3s, I think.
Right, yeah. It's been a weird, weird Euros.
It was a very fun but weird Euro group stage for sure. So super excited for the knockout round. Now, we won't be recording for a couple of weeks. Matt, I don't know if you want to do a solo mini one while I'm gone. We'll be in Florida watching the Chile-Canada game, as discussed. Then I'll be in Costa Rica. It'd be fun if they keep advancing. Maybe I can watch the game at like a sports bar or something down there.
With that would
people
be fun.
I don't know.
Yeah, so, I mean, really, honestly, if they get out of the group stage, then I think you'll get to, what group are they in?
They're in group.
Are they in B or C? Because if
they're in D.
They're in D.
Because they play Brazil.
So I think you'll get their last group stage game, actually.
Yeah, so let's just check the calendar. So, yeah, they play Tuesday. Their last group stage is the day I fly there.
Oh, that's amazing.
So I'll be at the airport as they're ending
the
game.
Yeah.
So hopefully they can, maybe Brazil gets knocked out and Costa Rica goes through and I can watch one of their games, and like watch their quarterfinal game or something.
That would be a huge party in Costa Rica.
That would be fun. I'm excited. It's going to be a good time. So we won't be here for a couple weeks. Or you could maybe record with Kyle while I'm gone or something.
I could do that. We'll have to call him so that we can set that up.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Appreciate everybody listening. As always, subscribe, rate, review, 5 stars, leave comment, all the kids thing. I've honestly given up on the spring top 25 because we're basically into July. So when I get back, we'll do like a preseason football top 5 or top 25 or something like that. For college football, EA Sports. Let me complain about one quick thing, and then we'll let us go. So, EA Sports came out with the top 10 toughest places to play in their video game.
Yes.
So everyone's making their own list, which is fair.
Yes, of course.
Bud Elliott, CBS Sports, he put Utah at number 3 hardest place to play. That's not the issue, even though I think they're the third toughest on, like, the West Coast. I put Washington, Oregon ahead of them. But he's like, Utah's tough to play. The altitude and the travel, it's hard to get to. So I responded. I was like, it's 10 minutes away from a major international airport. So to me, that doesn't seem that hard of a trip, travel-wise.
Right. Yeah, it's literally a hub.
Yeah. So then someone else, who I don't know, responded and ? So I explained. I was like, well, you cited travel as a reason it's tough to play in Utah. I disagree. Arizona State is closer. Other than that, I think it's the closest Power 5 school to an airport. It's like not Kansas State or even Florida where it's like hard to get to. And he cited Wyoming as another school it's hard to get to.
Yeah.
And he's like, travel doesn't make it tough to play or not. And I was like, I'm not the one who said it did.
Right.
So I literally was like, I didn't say that.
You're like, yeah, that's my point.
Yeah, like, talk to Bud, the guy who made the video. If that's your issue, your issue's not with me.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, that reminds me. And I want to focus more on the argument of it and not the actual politics, yeah. Right? But John Oliver did a thing on gun control, and he was talking to this guy from a gun control thing. And the interview is really, really long, and then the guy who wants less restrictions on guns says he gets frustrated. He says, look, if there are more guns, you're going to have more gun-related deaths. And John Oliver just says, that's what I think. Yeah. that's what I've been trying to tell you. Oh, man.
That was what he's like. No, that's my argument. Yeah. I didn't even know what to say because I didn't want to be like a jerk to the stranger. But it's like, first of all, can you read or watch a video? Like, just basic comprehension skills. It's like, I'm not saying that makes it easier or harder. I'm just saying if Bud's saying travel makes a difference, Utah, that shouldn't fact count for Utah because it couldn't be easier to get to Utah.
Yeah, for sure.
So. You almost have to get, if you fly Delta, you almost have to go to Salt Lake City.
Yeah, for sure, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's weird.
He didn't respond to that.
Yeah. Twitter's just not a great place
to talk to people. It's not a real world, unfortunately. Honestly.
And it could be a good place to talk to people, right? But it's just not.
Yeah, people are dumb. Then I just mean literally low IQ.
Yeah.
But appreciate everybody listening. If you're on Twitter, maybe read the previous comment. Honestly, emailing with Ryobi is the same thing. It's like, did you not read my email? Just read through the chain and then get back to me.
For sure.
So that'd be our advice is read through the whole chain or thread before responding. Talk to you guys in a week or two, a couple weeks.